I'm going to start off like this. Yay, yay. We be clubbing. This is the Capital City Podcast. I'm your host, Capital J, alongside my main man,
DL Glass.
And tonight, we're talking about clubs. We're going to evolution of clubs. And, of course, it's a hip-hop-based show. But we always start in the beginning. But for the club, if we're going to talk about the evolution of the club scene, we got to go way, we got to go before hip-hop.
Oh, yeah, we do, really.
Right, right. Yeah. Right, and we'll get to hip-hop.
Yes.
Now, a lot of y'all been out nowadays. Anybody that's over the age of 30 remembers going to a club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now when you go out, you go to more of a lounge-style environment.
Right.
And it's a club. I'm doing air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a club, but not the way that some of you remember.
Right. Right.
Now, back in the day, when your great grandparents went out, they did a thing called ballroom style. And what that was, is basically a huge club, and they have a band, a big band. Now, there's a difference in a big band and a band.
Right.
A big band back in the day had about, you know, five or six horns. The entire brass section, you know, whole percussion section, you know, guy on the piano, orchestra leader, you know, like Cab Calloway was the king of the clubs back then, but it was the ballroom style, you know.
Yeah, you took it right out of my, like Ray's Boom Boom Room.
Right, right. He was coming in and he's bringing the whole band and you rock all night.
Yes.
He was the DJ.
Yep. And the MC.
And the MC.
Right, right. That's crazy.
And that evolved.
Yes.
Now, it took a while before the DJ took over the nightlife.
Mm-hmm.
Because even going into the 50s and 60s, you had a lot of, there was a lot of work for bands. Like, they'd come in and they'd play the most popular music. Sometimes they'd play covers.
Right.
Excuse me.
I got to stop you there for a second because I'm a Southern boy.
Right.
And we had the juke joints.
The juke joint.
Yeah.
The juke joint. We got to get to the, we'll get to the juke joints
well,
too.
Well, the juke joints was around at the same time you talking about this ballroom style, but it was a Southern twist to it. They had what's the word I'm looking for? Instrumentators.
Yeah, instrumentalists, bands, whatnot.
Yeah,
you know. Right, right. And it was a much smaller package.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the ballroom style, that was kind of fancy clubbing.
Yeah. It was
the juke joint.
New York City.
Is the, you know, even New York City has some juke joints.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But.
Not like down south, but.
Right, right, right. It ain't the same. You know, it's not in the swamp. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's seen The Color Purple recently. That's real.
Yeah.
You know, I remember growing up, there was a club. My grandparents lived in a place called Bel Arthur outside of Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on the way to Greenville, you would pass these two shacks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like.
Hold on, you ain't talking about Red Barn. Or,
nah. I'm talking about two shacks side by side.
Uh-huh.
And one was called the Jack of Spades and the other was called Ace of Clubs. And they were side by side. And it was straight up liquor house juke joint.
Okay.
Activity going on.
Okay.
But these are the kind of places where, you know, if you know, the ballroom is Siddiddy.
Yes.
And a lot of places like the Cotton Club in Harlem. Mm-hmm. You heard about so many black artists getting their start. But black patrons
weren't allowed.
Right.
And the musicians couldn't even come in the front door. They had to come in the back.
Right. They had to go over to Harlem and get it in, you know.
Right.
There were several spots in Harlem that hosted all black ballroom style events, but they were still upscale.
Right.
You know, these are for the best of the best.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the juke joint is a watered down version of that. You're not going to bring a 10-piece ensemble or orchestra into a juke joint.
Right.
In the juke joint, all you need is a guitar, a drummer,
a pianist.
And a pianist.
Yes.
And a singer.
Right.
So four people can keep a juke joint rocking all night.
Absolutely.
Now, the first threat to that style of music was the jukebox. They just stick that joint inside of any establishment.
Right.
Instead of the owner having to pay entertainment, you pay money.
Right.
Just play your favorite songs.
Yeah. Automation.
Right.
Automation.
It was an automated DJ.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, things really started to change. You know, we went through the 50s and 60s with a combination. You had some jukebox joints. But you also still had a whole lot of live performances.
Yes.
You know, and that's kind of, that was the king of the nightlife, was going to see a live performer.
Yes.
The better the performer, the more people show up.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 70s, this thing called disco.
Right.
Introduced us to the club scene that carried us through the 80s and 90s and early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. I hate to step back, but we skipped over Carolina in the early beginnings because, you know, like, what's your boy name from Durham?
Mr. Freeze?
No. Ooh. From Durham, in my opinion, one of the first rappers, Pigmeat Markham.
Oh, Pigmeat Markham.
You know, and he was straight juke joint-ish.
Right.
You know, and the movie... take them back to the movies, Idlewild, shed light on how important...
Idlewild was a great example of that.
And you know how important North Carolina was to the juke joint scene, because that whole movie was based and shot in North Carolina.
Well, you know, they call, like, when you're traveling from black spot to black spot to holding the wall black spot, they call it the Chitlin Circuit.
Yes. Yeah, and that was big in the 30s, the late 20s and early 30s.
Right.
Especially during the Great Depression.
So what you saw in Idlewild and the Color Purple, like, you know,
yeah,
these things really happened that way.
Right.
You know?
And the first original Color Purple was shot in North Carolina, too.
Right. Wilmington.
No, it was shot outside of Charlotte. And I didn't know. I thought it was Wilmington, too.
I thought they shot a lot of that in Wilmington.
Listen, they had the studio stuff. But I've actually grown to the property line right outside
the house.
Yeah, you can't. You better not go on the property. We had to walk down the train tracks about a quarter of a mile, and there's a big-ass sign. I still got the picture somewhere. The Color Purple was shot here, but do not enter this property.
Right.
We were shooting a movie out there in 2015, and it's between a place called Aberdeen and Charlotte that it was shot in, and I can't remember the name of that little small, it's not even a town, it's like an incorporated place.
Right.
Yeah, but that's where the Color Purple, the house that Mr. and Silly lived in, still standing on this property.
Oh, I always thought all of that was in the Wilmington area.
I thought so too, but no.
Well, I learned something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yep. But all that's real.
Right. I hate to interrupt.
Oh, no. That's all relevant for sure, you know. And as we got to the 70s, you still had people going out to hear live performances. Like, people, a lot of artists that got their start in the club. Like, I was watching something about Natalie Cole, for example. It's Nat King Cole's daughter.
Right.
She, you know, she went pop, disco.
Yes.
But she cut her teeth with club gigs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, live entertainment was still happening, but disco introduced a lot of things that we use in hip hop. One was having a DJ play to keep people dancing all night.
Right.
Two was the 12-inch single.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you used to buy 45s for your single, and a 45 can only hold about 5 minutes of music.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when disco happened and people were putting all this money into extravagant productions, folks want to rock to this thing for 7 to 8 minutes straight.
Right. Can you still find 45s?
Yeah. I mean, people still press 45s, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
I don't ever remember a time where the 45 had totally disappeared.
Not the gun.
Yeah, yeah. The actual record.
Right.
With the big hole in the middle.
Yes. I didn't know they still, okay.
Yeah, but you don't, as a DJ, you don't play 45s. You know, you can.
Yeah.
But by the 70s, the 12-inch single rules because you get a longer version of the song. And this is where hip-hop's coming in to change things.
Mm-hmm.
A disco DJ, you know, he keep the groove going.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a lot of cutting and scratching. You get full songs. You get the entire song. Like,
mm-hmm.
A 12-inch single version of a disco record will have the song as you know it, and then 5 more minutes of instrumental.
Yes.
You know, drum solos, guitar solos, new portions of singing that are not on the original record. You know, just went on 2 and 3 times as long.
Right.
As hip hop came on the scene, you know, the first place they were partying, these are places that hosted disco parties as well.
Okay.
But disco, there were so many people, it was such a popular movement that clubs, big, gigantic clubs,
okay,
were popping up everywhere.
Right.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how old most of our audience is, but the kind of clubs that were going on during the disco era, you haven't seen that.
Oh, right.
These are huge clubs.
Yes.
You know, like they hold 1,000 people.
Easy.
Right. And these venues lasted for a long time. But eventually they transitioned over to a different type of music. But big, big, gigantic clubs with massive sound systems where you can feel the bass.
Yes.
And, you know, speakers hanging in the ceiling and the disco ball is, you know, the lights, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The product of the disco era.
Mm-hmm.
Hip hop stepped into that. Mm. The DJ. Now you got a hip-hop DJ working the turntables. By the 80s, discos faded away.
Right.
But those venues still stand.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who came up in the golden era of hip-hop did some partying in some pretty nice venues. I can think of one in particular that screamed disco that lasted all for a really long time in Greensboro. It's called Four Seasons. Okay. And I don't think that spot was there as a disco club, but it had a lot of remnants of the disco era, you know, shiny, you know, different levels. You know, you can see from wherever you are in the club, you can see the dance floor, but the place is huge. You hold at least 1,000 people.
Okay.
Sound everywhere. The DJ is on the DJ is almost the stage.
Yeah, on the platform, right.
Right, they have the DJ as the centerpiece, and that's who you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
The way that place was built reminded me a lot of the disco era.
Okay.
Now, over time, the crowd that used to go see disco, you know, they would dress up, like they would really get G'd up.
Right, right.
I remember my parents going out when I was young, they, you know, they got on their best. They looking sharp, sharp.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Elegant.
Yes.
Stylish.
Okay.
As hip hop came in, we adopted more of a street dress,
mm-hmm.
but still fly. You know, you don't go in there looking raggedy like you just, you know, not like you're washing cars on the street.
Yeah.
But
even in the park. If you see old pictures of it and stuff like that, like people used to get dressed.
Yeah, they get G'd up, man. You get G'd up to go out.
Yes.
And the sound system is already in place. The turntables in place. It was just waiting for hip hop to come in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And what I noticed, eventually the clubs got smaller and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few spots like the Power Company, I remember the Power Company in Durham, you know, 3 levels.
Yes.
It was huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great, great club environment.
Yes.
You had the Tunnel in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, mad people. Huge club, huge venue. Yeah.
You know it was at least 1,000 people.
Right. Plum Crazy in Raleigh was a pretty large venue.
Right.
But things got smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And smaller.
Right.
And smaller.
Yes.
And smaller.
You think that had to do with money or because of?
Well, that, think about the price of real estate. It's always going up.
And
if you have a space,
smaller.
If you have a space that big, it's, you know, it's worth money monthly. I remember a spot in Greensboro called Starlight, huge, you know, nice size venue.
Okay.
And, you know, it was big enough. I think it used to be a grocery store at one time that it kind of give you an idea of how much space this Joker's taking up.
Right.
And the problem with a club that size is if you don't fill it.
Yeah. You waste the money.
Yeah, the money it costs to operate something that big.
Right.
You have to pull in 1,000 people every time you open the doors. And or it's not even worth it to open.
Because I'm interested to find out, and I'm going to do this on the outside, to find out when did everything transition to square footage. Because I remember working for a big box retailer, and every square foot had to be accounted for by a dollar amount. And if that square footage didn't generate money, then it was wasted space.
Right.
And my introduction to that was Walmart. And Sam Walton introduced it in the retail environment. But I wonder, like, you know, for everything else, when did that introduction happen? And that's why I
was asking. It's probably always been that way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's the nature of business.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as these clubs started getting smaller, you know, it just made sense that you could take 200 people and it looks like the club is packed. But one of the changes I noticed is back in the 70s, 80s, you could see, like, the seating area was, for one, it was free.
Yes. Now you got to pay.
Right.
Hence VIP.
But one of the first changes I saw was people started getting rid of the seats in the club.
Right.
And through by the 90s, there's not a lot of seats in the club anymore.
Nah, and you paying out the yin yang.
Yeah, and you're going to stand the whole night. Nah, you weren't paying to sit down. There's nowhere to sit.
No, well, I'm talking about, like, you know, late 90s, VIP was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you had to pay to sit down. Otherwise, like you said, you got to stand.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But you had been clubbing so long, like, you didn't come to the club to sit.
Right.
You came to dance all night.
Yes.
So there was really, you know, a lot of clubs didn't have anywhere to sit at all.
Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, growing up, my mom worked in a factory, and she sat down in front of a sewing machine all day long. So she couldn't wait till Friday nights so she could go to the club.
And stand. Move, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
That's crazy.
People used to come out of the club sweaty. Like, the purpose, like, once disco hit, the purpose of going out was to dance.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that's what it was the entire time. It was to dance. But if you notice, when you look at shots from the Cotton Club, places like that, they had a lot of tables.
Yeah.
They had a dance floor in front of the stage so you could get up, go dance, and go back to your table.
Right.
Nah, you didn't see tables anymore by the time hip-hop was in this thing. No tables.
No tables.
You know, because you're not watching the show.
Right.
You are there to party.
To party.
DJ is doing his thing so that you can party.
Mm-hmm.
And into the 90s, when the clubs started getting smaller, they were still working, but they still didn't have any place to sit.
Right.
Then something happened, and the VIP started popping up.
Mm-hmm.
You started seeing places put nice seating areas in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, close enough to the dance floor where you could really step right out of your area and be right on the dance floor.
Right.
But you had to pay to sit there.
Absolutely.
unheard of.
Right.
That was unheard of. I was like, what is this? Yeah. You gotta pay to sit down. What is this?
Absolutely.
You know, it didn't affect me too much because a lot of times, you know, any club that had a nice DJ booth also had some seating in that area. So I was always chilling.
Right.
But going to the club as a patron,
mm-hmm.
you know, when people, when the tempo slowed down, we talked about the tempos.
Right.
When the tempo slowed down. And I would say this is probably the catalyst of this is probably when marijuana got really popular again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Early 90s, as people started smoking before they went.
Right.
You know, drinking is liquid courage.
Absolutely.
And that makes people go hard. They dance. They mm-hmm. share their inhibitions.
Yeah.
And they get it in.
Yeah, I remember.
When you smoke, you're a little more self-conscious.
Right. I remember going to the club, and as soon as I get into the club, I would order 2 Long Island iced teas and drink them real fast.
You know what? I had a different formula. Like, going to the club before I was 21, you know, you could go,
yeah.
but you're not going to be able to drink.
Right.
So I would have a fifth of Boone's Farm.
Oh, God.
And a quarter Coke 45 before I walked in.
So you had cocaine and and ecstasy.
That was the mix that would carry me through a club night.
Yes.
You know, Fifth of Boone's Farm.
Yeah.
Strawberry Hill or Mountain Berry.
Oh, God.
And a quarter Coke 45, and I'm straight. Because I know I'm not going to get anything when I get in the club. I'm 18.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But you go in, you dance all night, everybody's sweaty.
Right.
People smoke cigarettes
the
entire time. So anybody at party, girls knew they were coming out with smoky hair.
Yes.
Their clothes gonna smell like smoke. Whatever you wore to the club, you gotta wash it before you wear it again.
And that's why Bath and Body Works got so popular because they came out with that spray.
Little bit of spray to kill all that smoke odor on you. You know what I'm saying? It's just like standing beside a fish fry.
Yeah.
You got to take that off and wash that. You know what I'm saying? So here we are. We get into this period of time where the club environment is changed.
Yes.
You know, it's not the big ballroom.
Right.
It's not live music.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got a DJ, might have the big room. The big room disappeared.
Yes.
Smaller clubs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they used to be all for dancing. Then they started putting spaces in for people who just want to spend, show how much money they have, and sit and observe everybody else.
Okay. Let's look at it because we got to talk about both sides of it. Do you think the violence amplify?
Oh, the violence helped shut this. Like, you had to make smaller venues. I didn't even go there yet.
Well, that was going to be my question.
With hip hop, and
the smaller spots.
Yeah, the hip hop. Now I'm gonna go ahead on and point the finger at the hip hop crowd.
The violence.
Hip hop venues. You know, when people start getting shot.
Yeah.
During the crack years.
And stabbed and.
And all this stuff started happening.
Right.
Less people are willing to risk their life
mm-hmm.
to go hang out.
Right.
So the club had to get smaller.
Yes.
You're not going to find 1,000 people. Like back in the day, there were doctors, lawyers, janitors, teachers. Yeah. Everybody was at the disco.
Yes. Yeah.
It took, you know, all it took was a couple of shootings and all those professional people.
Stop.
I ain't got time for that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And the club crowd is turning to college students.
Mm-hmm.
Blue collar workers.
Right.
Hairdressers, barbers. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Which help Sunday nights pop off too.
Yes.
You know, people in the service industry, you know, they work long weekends. A lot of times they work on Friday and Saturday.
Right.
Sunday night. They get to come out and enjoy the club. So Sunday night turned into something different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sunday night's been around for a long time, but people who got a 9 to 5, they're on Sunday night. Sunday night is for a different kind of audience.
Absolutely.
And
unless you had the boat ride and Rocky Mountain.
and then when people started seeing that folks were willing, now you got to think about it, this is a business, a business thing. I remember DJing this club called A Venue in Greensboro.
Okay.
And I remember when they started making the transition to more VIP sessions.
Okay.
Because that's where the money is. Like,
yeah.
Like, you rent a, instead of just regular pay to get in, you pay and you buy a booth.
And you got to get a bottle.
And you get a bottle.
Yes.
And the markup on these bottles is insane. You know?
Yes.
And that took up a lot of real estate in the club.
Yes.
The dance floor got smaller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're telling you when you get there, like when you walk in a place, you could tell what you're supposed to do by how it's laid out.
Yeah.
If 80% of this room is the dance floor,
right,
then you're supposed to dance when you get here.
Yes.
If 80% of the room is VIP seating,
right, you're supposed to be at a table.
And the 20% of y'all standing around the dance floor in the bar.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And people don't want to leave their VIP section.
Right. It's dangerous out there. I know what's going on over here.
And they want, like, look, I'm here. I spent the money for this. I'm not. Why leave it?
Yes.
I can do everything right here. So people kind of stick to their areas. And eventually, the clubs made way for the lounge.
Mm-hmm.
Still got a DJ.
Yes.
They're still dancing.
Right.
But a lot of these places don't really have a big dance floor. Like even places that are active right now open every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
People go, have a good time.
Right.
There's VIP seating.
Mm-hmm.
Sections. But the dancing area?
Yes.
It's pretty small, a small percentage of the open real estate.
And it's not a focal point.
No, it's not a focal point at all.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's focal enough that, you know, the DJ is still expected to keep that little area rocking.
Yes. Right. But it's all money now.
But it's not right. It's not about providing. Yeah, yeah. The club used to be, we're providing you a place to come and cut loose. Now, you're providing the club some money.
Yes.
So that you can have a place to shine.
Right.
And, you know, you still relax. People, like I said, people still dance. But it's not a social. It's not a social event like it used to be. The social event is going on social media.
Yeah,
you know, look at me. I'm here.
Right, right.
Instead of with the people in the room.
Mm-hmm. You're right, right. Yeah.
You know, used to go to the club. You would come out every time you went to the club back in the day. You would come out knowing 10 new people.
Right, right.
You know, met a few girls. He met a couple of dudes that were cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Right.
That
I remember the first time I went to one of those big venues. It was a Limelight in Raleigh.
Mm.
First time I had ever been. And I spent most of the night with my back on the wall looking around because all these motherfucking people.
Right.
All in one place. And I know the Limelight probably is 1,500 people. Like they call it, I forget, where is the Ritz now? Where they have shows there now.
Yeah, yeah.
You can at least
That's a huge venue. Hell but you see, they converted that from club venue to performance venue.
Right. Right.
That's, you know, anything that big is not going to just be club anymore.
Right.
But it's still operating.
Yes. Yeah. But performance.
You know, you can go see Busta Rhymes in there in a few weeks. Right. You see what I'm saying?
You know? Yep.
So it's a nice venue, but that's the type of venues that used to be all over the place.
Right. I said Limelight. I meant Iguanas. Limelight was a small spot downtown, rather.
That Ritz.
I mean, I lied to you not. It was my first time. Actually, I'm from rural North Carolina, and I went in there with all these damn people, and I'm like, what?
You know, the last decent sized club is still hanging in there is TJ's.
Right. Yes. And somebody told me they got VIP at TJ's, and I started laughing. It was their first time.
Oh, you know what? Yep, it's over there on the stage.
Yeah, man. It's like, about 8 tables or something over
that,
there?
That venue, the way it's set up, is almost old school now. Yeah, huge dance floor.
Hell yes.
Not a whole lot of seating.
Yes. If you go to TJ's and don't dance, you didn't have fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's
gotta
made
dance at TJ's.
For dancing.
Yes.
It's a dancing spot.
Absolutely. And but I think that's why TJ's is still around, because it doesn't cater to the younger crowd. It caters to those of age to remember the dance clubs.
Right.
Yeah. That's why it's 30 plus.
Right. So, right.
You know.
Because, yeah. Now, and the other part is the turnover. Like, here goes the second or the next thing to the modern club that we could talk about. The proximity of other places. Mm-hmm. Like, now a lot of towns have club districts. Like, you used to drive to a place, and that spot was the only place you were going that night.
Mm-hmm.
You go and you stay there the whole night. There's a bunch of these types of places, let's say in Raleigh.
Glenwood South.
But you can leave one, walk right to the next one.
Next door.
And then go right to the next one.
Right.
Then go right to the next one. So the turnover,
mm-hmm.
the hourly turnover is much more than it used to be. You used to have people from 9 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get them for maybe an hour.
Right.
And if they're on to the next spot.
Right. Yes.
So, yeah, things changed a lot. Mm-hmm. But today, I think TJ's is the last real club that works under the definition of, you know, that I grew up with.
Right.
And everything today is more loungy. Mm-hmm. More like a lounge. You go in and you chill. A lot of them don't even have a real cover charge, you know.
Right.
You just go in because they know you're going to spend.
Yes.
You come in and you move on, go to the next spot. And there's, you know, plenty of DJs still working.
Right.
But outside of one-off events,
mm-hmm.
you know, like where I'm, you know, somebody's having a party at a hotel or something, and there might be 3,000 people there because it's homecoming or All-Star weekend or CIAA tournament.
Yes.
Those still happen.
Mm-hmm.
But used to get that every weekend.
Right.
You know, there was a place within an hour's drive that you could get this type of party every weekend.
Yeah. And now, do you think the decrease in people going, do you think that's because of everything associated with the culture? And I'm not going to just say hip-hop music, but the culture. Because, you know, like we can't argue that this is a culture now. And right. if you are part of the culture, you party in the culture, you know, there's certain elements of the culture that deters a lot of people from being
honestly,
part.
I think, well, one, you know, I think the violence definitely stopped. Like, the club used to be something that everybody did.
Mm-hmm.
Once it got, you know, once people started getting shot, like I said, it was a 10-year, think of a 10-year stretch where at least once a year, somewhere I'm DJing, somebody would get shot and killed, killed some kind of way. Somebody would die.
Right.
And I'm there because I have to be working.
Right.
If you don't have to be somewhere where somebody's getting shot, most people are going to steer clear of those areas.
Unless you're a part of the life.
And the place where that happens was the club.
Yes.
So That really was the beginning. That was the first nail in the coffin right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the violence, period.
And I hate to go back to this, but it was funny as hell to me when you said it, that Puff killed that element of hip-hop when he made you put it. But it reminded me of what Mace said. They figure I
wouldn't wow when I'm in my fresh clothes.
Right. So
it was trying to go back to the dress up era.
Yes. And Puff is
from
Harlem.
Of the upscale club. He's from Harlem.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And he tried to bring it around.
Trying to bring it back around.
Yes.
But that's, you know, it just so happens that that's really not the essence
of
where hip hop came from.
Absolutely.
Hip hop took over that.
Yes.
And turned it into this.
Yes.
And, you know, it worked for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people getting dressed up. You see, you know, for the first time you get to the club and folks look at you, not with those shoes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You ever had that happen to you? I had that happen to me once.
Oh, yeah, once. Yeah. Man, come on, man.
Yeah. I think it happened to me the first time. I just knew that I wasn't going back to those
spots. I didn't, yeah, you know, but that was intentional.
Yeah.
Like, some of those clubs would play a little hip-hop, but they weren't hip-hop clubs.
They were 40s, top 40s they, clubs. Under
even,
the...
Or even just, you know, like, let's take Side Effects in Greensboro. Mm-hmm. This club was open from, like, 1977 to, like, 1999. Like, they were open for years.
Okay.
You know, parents and kids all went to Side Effects, you know, at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had a dress code.
Okay.
And it was not a hip-hop club.
Mm.
But it's also from the disco era.
Okay.
And it lasted. It was an adult.
Yeah.
Just an adult thing to do.
Right.
You know, but that was not the hip-hop spot.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're not going to hear it. You don't play hip-hop all night in there.
Mm.
But that's the next thing that helped kill the club.
Mm.
Back in the day, if you want a wide variety of people, if you're going to cater to, if you want 1,000 people to show up,
yeah,
can't just play hip-hop all night.
Right, right, yeah.
And the club started going downhill as hip-hop started become the language of the land.
Right.
When everything was about hip-hop, mm-hmm, all of a sudden, you know, you lose that house music set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start to lose the go-go and the reggae.
Right.
You know, you got some clubs where dudes just play hip hop all night.
All night.
Well, I'm sorry, but ain't too many fly chicks gonna be spending 4 hours in a place and not hear a girl sing.
Right. Yeah.
That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm. Or something they could dance to.
They could dance to and up tempo, and the tempo, yeah, slowed down, you right, know. Now it's, you know, you start thinking Pastor Troy and that type of,
mm-hmm,
You know, it's masculine energy.
That Negro shit.
Too much masculine energy in the room.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the girls, if the girls aren't showing up, mm-hmm, you know, you got some girls that are there, but they start to get more and more ratchet.
Yeah, that was
because
the
they're the kind of girls who can be around this type of energy and not feel uncomfortable.
I can't hang with girls. I get along better with guys.
Right. So yeah, now even the girls got masculine energy that are, yeah, in these types of places.
Yeah.
And it's just all downhill.
Yes.
Which brings us to today. You have a resurgence of nighttime spots.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause,
you know, first 9/11 happened, and that was the, yeah, first time I ever seen a break.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the clubs took a break.
Yes.
It took a while to get, you know, that happened in what, 2001? 9/11 was,
yeah,
2001.
Yep, yep.
You had the Great Recession in 2007.
Right around there, yeah.
So,
6, 7, yeah.
That break that the clubs took, it took a while. But, like, things didn't jump right back to how they were after 9/11. It took a while, and then the recession happened.
Yeah.
So who can afford people to have afford a venue,
right,
that can hold
even 500 people?
Right, right. You, right, can't afford to keep that going because you lost part of your crowd to, you know, just general fear,
mm-hmm,
which, right, is not, you know, 9/11, plus the fear of getting shot.
Yes.
Then you add the not having a variety of music.
Yes, yes.
You're losing part of your audience.
Right.
Constantly.
And then, what was it? I forgot. March 13th, 2020. The pandemic happened.
Oh, man. We haven't even gotten there yet.
You know, it just reminded me because you said it. Everything slowed down for 9/11. Mm-hmm. 9/11 was a moment compared to what happened during COVID. The pandemic hit because,
right,
I was actually in the club the night that the pandemic, that they put us under.
On a quarantine.
Yes.
Or lockdown.
And it was the same night that the, what was that tour that Bow Wow and all of them was on?
Don't ask me the name of that.
Damn. But you know what I'm talking about. That tour, they had that show the same night, and then they had, the clubs were open, so Raleigh was crazy that night, and
you shouldn't have been there. That was the last time for a while, huh?
What? About 2 years. Yeah. Like, it was illegal to have parties. Like when we talked to Van Ness, that's why I asked Van Ness, was that him that was still having these house parties in Burlington. Out in Burlington? Because this guy got locked up because he was still having 200-300 people.
It was a lot
together.
Of stuff going on in Burlington that was against right. They were opening up all kind of stuff.
Man, and
just
listen.
Said, we'll just face the consequences.
And really, it took until, what, last year, the summer of 2023, before clubs actually started back jumping.
Right, right. They're just getting back, like, and you could tell people been itching to get out because I would say the nightlife is pretty doggone jumping right now.
Yo, it's
like,
wide
people,
open right
people
now.
People are out.
Yes, sir. You know,
we outside.
Man, listen.
Folks are outside.
And you know, I'm the pay attention to detail. So the large venues that you're talking about that wasn't drawing a crowd because they played hip-hop all night. So I'm like, how they keeping the lights on? How they keeping the doors open?
Well, because you probably that was part of getting smaller.
Yeah.
When you have a smaller venue.
No, I'm talking about after the smaller venues. But there was still, because I could think of three places right now in Raleigh that were still open. They were these big-ass venues. But when you go inside, it's probably 150, 200 people in there, but it's big enough for 1,000 people.
Right. Nah, you can go the in one there. Next to Noir, what was the name of it?
Solace.
Solace. Well, Solace was one of the last real clubs, too. That was a real club.
You could buy any drug under the sun in there. that was my point. You know, you could buy any drug under the sun. And the crazy part about it is now that they're shining the light on it because a couple people have gotten killed out there on Glenwood South. And I hate to say this, but the last time I remember somebody getting killed on Glenwood South, I'm like, so what drug was he selling?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, because it, like, you know, the quiet is kept. Anything under the sun, you can get it over there.
It was one of the last venues left that could accommodate that many people. And I've been there when it was packed.
What?
You know, and that was a real deal.
Three floors.
Old school club environment.
Yes.
Or are they still open?
No, the pandemic killed them.
Exactly.
Yes, the pandemic killed them.
And you know, the other thing they did, like, to combat having less crowd, now all of a sudden you used to pay $5 at the door, and then next thing you know, it's $25 and $30 to get in, and you don't even know if anybody's in there. So you better spend your money at the door.
Right, because they hold in the line.
Yeah, they'll hold you outside, make it look like it's packed. You finally get inside. You be like, man, and there's nobody inside.
And if you pay $20 to get inside, you can skip the line by paying $40
right.
or $50.
And drinks, drinks went through the roof. Like, I remember a club in Greensboro, and this was a decent-sized club. But, you know, the price of real estate went up through the roof. So off top, if the rent goes up for the club owner, they have to charge you more to get in.
Right.
We used to go in on I think Thursday night was quarter draft.
Mm. Not you the get, end club. Was it end
no,
club
No, this
was
called DYH.
Then? Oh, okay.
And it was a big club. You know what I'm saying? It was big. I remember seeing J. Ruta Damager and the Alcoholics, all of them perform in there. It's big. You know, it had plenty of space. Mm-hmm. But real estate wasn't off the chain back then. You know, if you pick a location that's undesirable,
right,
you can have a club.
Yeah.
And anybody could. Like the club that I used to do 2 to 6s at the Turtle Club, dudes in my dorm owned that club. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it was accessible. Anybody could start a club back in the day because the real estate wasn't off the chain.
Mm-hmm.
But when the rent goes up, you got to charge more to get in.
Absolutely.
Then you got to charge more for drinks. Like no more 25-cent draft.
Right.
You know, you sit there and drink 25-cent cups of beer.
Yeah, right.
And this is 95. You see what I'm saying? 94, 95, 96, you're still drinking 25-cent cups of beer.
Mm-hmm. And taxes went up.
Yeah, so all of that helped, you know.
Right.
It's like they're going for quality over quantity now. Mm-hmm. Now they want a higher quality guest, somebody who has more money to spend, instead of getting a whole bunch of people spending $5.
Right.
They'll take a few people spending a couple of hundred in the club.
Mm-hmm.
And that slowed things down, too, because we went through a recession. And while people say that we have gotten out of it, nobody got a raise.
Right.
You well, see what I'm saying?
Pay it for your benefits.
Yeah, and everything's so much more expensive that hell whatever yeah. raise you got didn't equal more money, but everything right. costs way more, and that yes. keeps people
right
at home.
Yes.
So if you have a venue, it better be small, because that's all you're going to get is a few people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's double taxation.
Mm-hmm.
You get paid more money, so it puts you in a higher tax bracket. Everything goes up. And you pay taxes on that.
Right.
Hell, man.
And then it makes it tough on the DJ, because now you're dealing with people that don't get, they don't get the full music experience like they used right. to. So right. if somebody walks in, like back in the day, if somebody had a request, you could probably play it. And if there's 500 people there, you got 100 people on the dance floor, you're still killing it.
Right. Right. It's packed.
But if it's 100 people.
Right. And 5 people dancing.
And right. It's yeah. not it's not the same. So yeah. DJing became harder work
yeah.
to get the whole room involved.
Right.
Because people aren't socializing and mingling like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So your favorite song used to be a time for you to share
right.
something with everybody in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So you go in the club and you pick any song, you know what I'm saying? Montel yeah. Jordan, This How We Do It drops.
Right.
You're bonding
mm-hmm.
with hundreds of people at the same time. You know, this is right. how we do it. Ah.
Yeah.
And you get some of that now, but it's in little small spurts.
Mm-hmm.
And people, and the attention span has changed too. So
yes.
They're not going to listen to the whole song. All they want is that moment, that moment of social bonding. But it only lasts long enough for a hook to play. Then you got to right. move on to the next thing.
Right.
It puts a lot of pressure on DJs now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I know from, this is strictly from a club goer. Like, I never worked in a club or anything like that. If I come to a spot and the promoter is out front, I know nobody's in there.
Right. Right, he's trying to get a bag for the DJ and everybody he promised that he was going to pay.
Yeah,
so
and we talked about this guy. He's one of the main ones who I remember. It had this big ass venue in Greensboro, and this is like mid-2000s. I guess you can call it mid-2000s, around 2009. Fendi,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure if the end club was jumping or what it was called during the time that. In your tenure in Greensboro, but the end club had the it looked like an old movie theater out front.
Yeah, that was a big venue. You know, yeah, it was a fairly big venue.
And Fendi, we used to call it Big Wednesday.
Big Wednesday, yes, I remember that.
Because Wednesday nights,
mm-hmm.
that joint was like that. But when you come, Fendi's outside, out front. And this is doing his hood locker days, and that I think that was like my first.
But you know something though, he would be out front even if the club was packed. He's still
okay.
Like this dude is drawing business.
Yeah,
like you know he was a true showman promoter.
But we ain't gonna talk about everything else that was probably going on associated with so.
Well, you know that there were a couple of clubs on Elm Street. Like well,
yeah.
there was one called Babylon too.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And yeah, I remember that though.
Yeah,
yeah, but he knew how to go out there and get people to come inside, like
because there was no social media.
I've watched him like he was a dude that walk up to a group of girls walking down the street and get them to go inside.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? He was so aggressive.
Yeah, yeah, that's that New York game, man. He would go out there and he would fill that spot.
Like, but you ain't shit. Yeah, in
yeah. What you doing? Yeah. Ain't nothing down there. You right. can come in here. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
So. Yeah. So I seen a lot of other promoters be outside and that spot be empty, but I don't think I seen Fendi outside.
Mm.
I know in his spot.
Right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that's just you know straight up.
Wednesday night was crazy.
Yeah. He's just outside.
You had to go
making
to work
it even better inside. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I give him that for sure.
If social media was jumping back then it probably would be a different story. About the spots, because you wouldn't have to work so hard to get people into your spot.
Well, that was the luxury of being in a place where they're like, that was Elm Street in Greensboro was one of those places where there were a lot of venues up and down the street.
Yeah. It was like Glenwood South.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, same setup. So if you got them, you know, might as well pull them in here.
Right.
But they're going to be down there anyway.
Yeah.
Like people just out.
They got to park way down the block and walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Back,
you just
catch them.
Right. Get them.
Yeah.
Get them.
Hell yeah.
Bring them in.
Yes.
But then here we are today where I, you know, there are hardly any real clubs left. You know, like I know places people go and, I've lowered my expectations a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you hear about a spot and you know, like when you hear about a place, you be thinking there's going to be something because you came from the era where, you know, and there might be a lot of people there.
Yeah.
But it's not really. It's just that the place ain't that big.
Like the spot downtown Durham beside Century 21. What's that spot?
Is that Justin's? There's a spot called Justin's downtown now. And there's always people in there.
Yeah.
But you can see the entire thing through the window.
That's what I was. So that is the spot. But it's not big.
No, it's not big at all.
Hell no.
No, it's like a, it's like one of them houses from...
Yeah.
From the 30s.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A shotgun house. In the front door, right out the back.
Yep. Yep. And the bar is in the middle. But you can see the whole spot.
You can see everything right through the window.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
But it's always packed. So they don't have to worry about filling the space.
200 people in there, maybe.
But you know what? It's not. I don't think it takes 200.
That was being generous. Right.
But that's another thing, too. Since COVID, people are utilizing the outdoor space.
Oh, they have an outdoor space.
Everybody does now.
Oh, see, like, I didn't know they had outdoor.
Since COVID, I can't think of too many venues that don't have an outdoor space. Because to get people to come back out, they had to give them a space where they could feel like they're not going to get sick.
Right. Damn. Perfect.
So that's a trend now.
Right.
Every place, almost every place has an outdoor space. And we're coming from North Carolina, tobacco country. Like people used to smoke indoors.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, sometime during the 2000s, they outlawed smoking inside.
What, like 04, 05?
Yeah, you couldn't smoke inside anymore.
Right.
You know, and then COVID came, you know. So that's two reasons to have an outdoor space. Because if you want, you know. Some people don't want to sit and drink without smoking.
Right. Yeah.
And even though there are way fewer smokers now than there used to be. But to make that transition, you had to give smokers a place they could enjoy their cigarette.
Mm-hmm. And so it's crazy how COVID messed me up mentally. Because a couple Saturday nights ago, I went to a spot and this spot was getting jumping.
Where was it?
On Falls in the News. I can't remember the name of the Hispanic spot over there. But when I tell you this spot was fucking jumping, this spot was fucking jumping. I walked in. I stayed in there about 10 minutes. There's too many people in here. I got to go, dog.
Yeah,
you know what
boy.
I mean? I got to go. And a lot of, because the economy is so bad and people are not paying attention to this. Your favorite restaurant, if they have a DJ, that comes in on Friday and Saturday nights and security at the front door, I won't eat there. Because they on the downward spiral.
Oh, yeah. Anytime the restaurant turns to the club, which is another trend we see.
Yeah.
Like a lot of venues. Especially in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Man.
Like, there'll be a restaurant during the day and a club on the weekends.
Man.
Yeah, you don't want that food.
Man.
You do not want that food.
But I'm the same guy that won't eat at a strip club.
Hey, you don't want that food either. But I tell you, one place I used to smash it up over at Sugar Bear's. I could get a full seafood plate at 4 o'clock in the morning out there, man. I be coming. I would stop getting stripping oyster plate from behind the building.
So you probably radioactive right now because they were bucket naked in the Sugar Bears.
Hey man, that place had way more cuts and nooks and crannies than you can ever imagine, man. Sugar Bears is legendary.
Yeah.
You know, and we haven't even gotten into the strip clubs and how they used to be. That's a whole
other show.
We're gonna get to
need
that.
A stripper for that one, man.
You know what?
I need an old head, an old stripper for that.
I know something I can call for that. You know what I'm saying?
Some.
Yeah.
You know you're married, right?
I mean, hey, just because I know them don't mean I'm doing bad business with them. You know what I mean? Especially you say old ones. Yeah, I know some old ones.
You know what I'm saying? And the reason why I say that is because just to be able to talk about the transition, you know what I'm saying? Because it used to be dancers. Now it's almost insulting to call a stripper a dancer. And back in the day, it was insulting.
I thought it was insulting to call a dancer a stripper.
Yeah, it used to be that way. You know, it used to be that way, but shit, they get bucket naked.
Yeah.
I hate it for them guys who live in them states that they can't get bucket naked.
Well, here we are today. Like, you know, now they pay the DJ like he's just one of the security staff or something like that because.
Right.
You know, for one, you're not bringing crates of records in. You know, you show up with your little backpack with your computer in it and your controller set up, DJ for 100 people.
Yeah.
You know,
it's only one DJ that I know that brings a crowd. You know what I mean? And because it used to be the DJ is what brought the crowd there.
Right.
You know? But DJ Capital J, that's the plug. That's the only DJ.
I appreciate you. You know, I ain't the only one that'll still bring a crowd.
Hey, man,
now.
Yes, you are. What you talking about? Yes, you are. Yeah, you know, the rest of them, they fake it.
Hey, but that's real, too, man. You know, you go out for a different reason. Like, you used to go out to hear the music, hear the DJ. Now you go out. For the ambiance.
Yeah.
So the venue is the star of the show now.
Right. Right.
You know, and if it's a hole in the wall, the hole in the walls don't work like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
You could bring anybody to a hole in the wall back in the day.
Right.
Get it popping because people came to dance.
Yes.
They don't even care if, you know, you don't even need a full bar. I got. Like, what you got back there? I got vodka. I got rum. Right. I got gin.
It amazes me.
And maybe two different kinds of beers.
And how many places that don't serve Hennessy? And I'm like, that's a black no-no. I can't come here if you don't sell Hennessy.
Hey, man.
Come on, bro.
You mean today on. Still don't serve Hennessy?
Bro, I went to one recently. And I was like, what the?
You know what they're trying to tell you?
You shouldn't be here.
Hey, man.
Thank you. That's a good point. that's a good point. You know?
Yeah.
Somebody told me we ended too soon. But
that's what it comes to today. Like now, if it's that's another thing too. If you just strictly catering to 100% black audience, then you're fighting over a crowd that is not gonna fill your place. Like, you know, you need to you almost have to cater to everybody.
Right.
At some point in the night.
Yeah. Because it's
everybody
so
needs
now.
To feel comfortable coming through.
Yes.
Which is gonna take away from how hip hop you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And you think about the audience, because like let's be real about it. Like other than and I was surprised, Glenwood South until 2 AM. You'll see a diverse crowd of people out. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, 10:30, you wouldn't really see white people outside.
That early, you're saying?
No, past 10:30, you didn't really see white people
outside.
You
said back in the day.
Yeah, you didn't really see white people outside. Glenwood South, I was amazed when I came back to North Carolina and I seen how many white kids. And maybe it's because of the colleges that are right around that area. You see college kids still walking around 2, 3 in the morning.
See, I was born in Greenville, and to this day, you know, ECU got that Fifth Street area over there, so I've always seen how they get it in.
Mm-hmm. College. College. That's my point. Yeah.
College students keep it jumping.
Right. But outside of college students, like, you don't really see white people out after 10:30.
But on Glenwood, they get busy on Glenwood.
Absolutely.
Yes. But that's also that same violence that ran people out of hip hop club mm-hmm. was threatening to run people off Glenwood Avenue. Because that's why the city is like, yo, man, we got to step it up. We can't let this cash cow
right
go to waste.
Because the last because three people
for a few people right. cutting up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that's for everybody.
And it's dangerous over
there. Everybody's not going to go if it's dangerous.
Right.
And before you know it, it's just like. Just like the club, it'll be a thing of the past.
Yep. Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So if you're out clubbing, enjoy yourself. But just know that if you're clubbing today, you ain't seen a club.
Right.
You don't know a real club.
You don't know a real club.
Like, even when I was growing up, you ain't seen clubs like like how, you know.
Right.
Like these huge venues. You ain't seen nothing till you go to a club where every weekend it's 1,500, 2,000 people.
In the
folks
past,
driving from other states.
In the past 10 years, even before the pandemic, I can't remember seeing a group of people and everybody's shirt is wet from sweating and dancing.
Nah, they don't get in like that no more.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, though, I'm going to make them do it.
No, that's right.
Make them do it next month. You know, I would give a date, but I don't want to date this episode, so.
Right. Pay attention.
Yeah, pay attention. Yeah. So we wrapping it up?
That's a wrap.
That's the club scene.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for letting us take you on the journey through the clubs over time. Yes. You know what I mean? We ain't spend a whole lot of time on today, but you know what it's about today. We telling you about how it used to be. If you want to see what it's like today, take your ass outside.
Go outside and see.
Outside and see.
Like, we didn't even touch on the out-the-work sets. You know, like out the work and
that don't count.
That don't count.
Nah, if you just got off work, it ain't the club. That's straight up lounge. Period.
Man,
ain't nobody getting off work going to the club. That's called happy hour. That's a whole nother thing.
I seen some
happy hours over by 10.
I seen some. I seen time in Dallas and Chicago. You go to the out the work set at it starts at 6:30. And I'm going to get out of here at 10, but at 2:30, I'm like.
Oh, here's the last thing that helped put a nail in the coffin, too.
Yeah.
Day parties.
Shh. Don't talk about it.
Day parties.
Don't talk about it. Don't talk about
day
it.
Day parties kill the night parties.
Yes, sir. Because you already drunk.
Yeah, when you have big events happening, the people having a day party,
yeah.
All of a sudden the night party ain't slamming like it used to be because everybody did it already.
Yes. Next time, go pick your kids up.
And now people trying to have day parties every weekend. And, like, you know, I really don't think a day party is an every weekend thing. You know, day parties need to be special occasions.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? But
I'm
it is what it is.
I'm probably going to edit this part out, though. I don't want to get nobody no idea because I still got my shit going.
Hey, that's what's up. What's up. We're going to get out of here. It's the Capital City Podcast. I'm your host, Capital J, alongside my main man,
DL Glass.
We on the way to the club. See, it's club time right now.
Right now, 10:17.
Well, nah, actually.
Y'all getting dressed.
Nah, yeah,
getting
yeah.
dressed, getting right. What they call it? Pre-gaming.
Pre-gaming. But you know what? That's another thing. People used to go to the club. People used to go to the club earlier. Then they started going real late.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going earlier again.
Bro, we didn't even talk about cover charges and all that stuff.
Well, it used to be $5. Now it's $25 and $30,
who 40, said that?
50.
Andre Willis, when we was talking to him, when he first got out of the feds, he said he couldn't believe that people were trying to go to the club early to get the wristband so they wouldn't have to pay to go to the club.
Yeah, free before 11.
Yeah, you go get your wristband, leave, and come back around 12:30, 1:00.
Mm-hmm. We'll mess around, start this thing back up. I got to pee really bad, though. I know that. So, you know, if you want to pause, we can talk about some more stuff. But
nah, that's it. Leave it right there.
Yeah, I'm going to use the bathroom for my bladder explodes.
Check out the podcast anywhere you get your podcast and subscribe on overheretv.com.
Indeed.
That's it, man.
That's it.